Welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out our website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's speaker is Dennis Hamilton. We invite you to take your Bible, study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may send them to Dennis Hamilton, P.O. Box 1066, Winnsburg, Kentucky, 40769, or email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Thank you for joining us here at the Brummett Church of Christ once again to study another portion of God's Word, to be inspired by it, strengthened by it, and also to be rebuked by it if necessary, because that's what God's Word does. It instructs us, but it also tells us, what we're doing wrong. And just like the steering wheel on a car, you use it to correct your direction, and that's what the Word of God does. Look at it as a map. A map that will lead you to heaven, but you must follow the specific instructions in God's Word. My name is Dennis Hamilton. I'm so thankful to be able to study along with you, and I pray that you will do so. And if we go over the verses too quick, just write them down and look them up at your leisure the next one, and it'll be a blessing to you. I'm sure that it will be, because God's Word is that way. It will help us and guide us. We know that it's perfect, it's complete. It's not lacking in anything, because we know that it came from heaven above. And that's the wonderful thing about it. Anything that comes from man will have flaws. We know that man was created by God, but still yet man sins. And we know that there is no sin in heaven. We know that Jesus Christ, he came down here in the flesh, but he still had no sin. And so, yes, keep that in mind. That's why it's important that we look into his Word. These precious words of life. We have a song in our hymnal that we sing from time to time, wonderful words of life. And this is what these words are. They are wonderful, and they are life. But when we ignore those, all we're doing is choosing death. And I'm not talking about the physical death. That's something we all will endure. I'm talking about that spiritual death. I'm talking about that second death that the book of Revelation speaks about. It speaks about a lake of fire being that second death, a place of torment. No one would want to desire to see that. But yet so many today are choosing the world over God. And we must dedicate our life to serving him so that one day we can spend eternity with him. And we see over there in the Old Testament such a wealth of knowledge for us to be able to look in and to be able to see the mistakes that they made so that we can avoid them. Now, we're going to still stumble, we're going to fall, and we're going to sin. Ain't no doubt about that, because this old flesh, that's the way it works. But we can eliminate so much in our life that goes against God's Word if we will dedicate our life to serving him. They made mistakes. They sinned. They were unfaithful. He would be patient with them and try to draw them back to him. But then they would fall right back into the same situation. And this is what we read about. If you'll turn with me over to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Now they used cisterns back at that time to hold water there, to use at a later time. But the Word of God compares it to just one that wouldn't hold water. And if it'd be just like a bucket for us today. If that bucket won't hold water, what good is it? I know growing up, we lived in some homes there that you had to go outside and you would draw water from a well, and then you would put that water in a bucket and take it into the house. Now, if you had a bucket that had a crack in it or wouldn't hold water, there wouldn't be any benefit, would it? And this is what we see right here. He uses this comparison right here and how that they had turned from him, the evils there that they had done. For one, they forsaked him. They forsake God. And they were going after other sources there. And that's what we, our lesson is about today, is, you know, beware of what we put our trust in. They quit putting their trust in the right place, which is God, and put it in other areas. Now, one of the things that they trusted in was idols. You know, Judah had gone after many idols. They went after Baal, they went after Moloch, and so forth. But when we read over there in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 2 through 5, look at what the Lord said. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So that was very plain talk there, the Lord told him. He wouldn't tolerate them worshiping anything else but him. He is the one that brought them out of the bondage that they were in Egypt. He did it. It wasn't any of those idols. And the thing about it, those idols is something that they carved out of their own hands, something that they had to carry around themselves. It had no power whatsoever. That's what they were putting their trust in. And some might say, well, how silly on their part. Well, we'll get to something here in just a moment that'll show you just how silly people can still be today. But, you know, just like we see there in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 20, he says, shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? That's what they were doing. There wasn't nothing, there was no gods about what they had there. But we often do that same thing today. People often use the same, they'll carry things around with them. They'll have things, you know, that they'll look to and put a lot of spiritual confidence in it, and that's the wrong thing to do. And we're going to look at a few things that this world today is guilty of putting their trust in, which is the wrong thing to do. Always put your trust in the Lord. He brought them out of a Egyptian bondage. He brought us through his son, Jesus Christ, out of the bondage of sin when he died on the cross, and we were obedient to the gospel. So we owe him that. And yet, just like they owed him their help to them, getting them out of that Egyptian bondage. But today, we see so many in the world today, they'll put their confidence, they'll put their trust in leaders. They'll put it in how much military strength they have. They'll put it in nuclear bombs, they put it in missiles, they put it in how many soldiers they have, how well trained their soldiers are. You know, Judah had placed their trust in many nations to help them. They were turning to them other than God. They put their trust in Assyria. They put it in Egypt. Look at Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 5 through 10. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though you had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remaineth but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up, and every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire. So the Lord was warning them there. Oh, they're not going to help you. You're doomed because you are putting your trust in the wrong thing. The same thing that with us today. Many things. We're going to look at several other things that we can put our trust in. And when we do, we are doomed if we stay in that condition. You know, they needed to place their trust in God. That's what Daniel did. When you look over there in the book of Daniel, and you look in chapter 4, and you look at verse 25, it says that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now what had taken place right here was Daniel was interpreting a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And he was warning him ahead of time here what this dream meant. And we see as you read on through that chapter right there, starting at about verse 29 through 30, it says, "And at the end of 12 months," talking about Nebuchadnezzar, "he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for this house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in his mouth, the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." You see, he was saying that he had done it all on his own, but he hadn't. Just as Daniel interpreted the dream up there in verse 25. He said, "Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar was raised up to do the Lord's bid, to do the Lord's will. And look at what else. He said, "The kingdom has departed from you." And just like Daniel had interpreted that dream, starting in verse 32, "And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will." Isn't this what Daniel told him in that dream he had? He said, "The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from the men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws." The Lord showed him who was in control, didn't he? He sure did. We know that, you know, the Lord did protect Judah, and it protected Israel at times. You read over there in the book of Joshua in chapter 6, upon coming to Jericho, you know, God tells them to march around that city one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times. And he caused the walls to fall down flat. It wasn't what they did. Yeah, they had to follow the Lord's instructions. They had to have enough trust in him and enough faith in him to follow through with those instructions. But it was still God that made those walls fall, didn't it? Sure. And over there in Judges also in chapter 7, you know, when they were fighting against the Midianites, and, you know, and Gideon there, you know, Israel had 32,000 men to fight. But God told him that was too many there. He said, "Go ahead and eliminate, talk to them, and the ones that are afraid, tell them to leave." And that's what happened. Says, "The Lord said to Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me." You see, that was the key right there. God wanted to show that it was him that gave them that victory. And God saved Israel. He saved Israel with only 300 men. Went from 32,000 men to 300. So he showed them that it was not the men. It was due to Gideon following the instructions. It was due to Gideon and the others there believing what the Lord had told them. And that's what we have to do today. You know, over there in 2 Kings, in chapters 18 and 19, when you get time to read that, Assyria under King Sennacherib had destroyed Samaria and had now come down to destroy Jerusalem. But in one night, God caused 185,000 Assyrians to die and save Jerusalem. God did it, you see. God still controls this world. You know, over there in the book of Romans in chapter 13, and when you look in verse 1, look at what it tells us. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." None of the powers, none of those in control, or so to speak, control, that are in positions of that, in the world today, no matter where they're at. None of them exist but because God willed it to happen, allowed it to happen. So that's why we don't need to be putting our trust in atomic bombs and missiles and number of soldiers and so forth. No, don't put your trust in the leaders. Put your trust in God. God placed certain men in certain positions there. And, you know, we often wonder, well, what did he have in mind by putting that person there? They seem like they're not qualified. God's wisdom goes way beyond our thinking. He knows exactly what he's doing at all times. Throughout the Old Testament, we see good kings and we see bad kings. But they were all put there for a purpose, and they served the purpose that God wanted. Now, that's what we have to keep in mind today. But don't put your trust in the government. Don't put your trust in the military, what I meant to say, the military. Don't put it in none of those things like that. God must be first and foremost. Look with me also in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Don't put your trust in that. Not in certain men, no. Always put it in the Lord. Now, we can pray for our leaders, and that's what we should do. We know we read over there in the book of 1 Timothy over there, in chapter 2, in our prayers, that we are to pray for our leaders. He said there in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, starting in verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So we see there, pray for the leaders of this country. Pray that we can still, you know, have peace. Pray now at this time for the conflicts that are going on in the world, that if it be the Lord's will, that they will cease. But it's always going to be the Lord's will, you see. And as we saw there in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, look at what the Lord said. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. Don't trust in that. Don't put your trust in princes. Psalms 146, 3 and 4 says, Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Now, he's not talking about Jesus Christ in this situation here. He's talking about just man, ordinary man. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Don't we often put trust in man instead of God a lot of times? We're all guilty of that, aren't we? We'll put trust in councils. We'll put trust in, some will put their total trust in a preacher. You know, I don't care who it is that is doing the preaching of God's word. Make sure it is God's word. Make sure that he is preaching the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Make sure he's not preaching his ideas or someone else's ideas or some preconceived ideas that the source came from man and not God. We have what's perfect in God's word. That's all we need. We need to be like the Bereans that were described over there in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, as being noble. Why? Look at what it says. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They received it. They listened to it. But look what else they did. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Today, if someone's preaching, someone's talking to you concerning God, concerning Jesus Christ, concerning the gospel, make sure that there is scripture to back it up. You know, the ideas of man will not save you. Man can't save himself. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. Solomon said that in Proverbs. Oh, well, there's a way. Man, it's not in man to direct his own steps. Jeremiah wrote that over there. So yeah, why did he write it? He was inspired by the Lord to write it. So yes, our confidence should always be in God, not man. And don't put it in material things. Don't put it in something like money. You know, money can be squandered. Money can be burned up. Money can be spent. It can be lost in countless ways. But we see a parable that Jesus Christ gave us over there in Luke 12:16-21. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God." You see, that man, he had been blessed that his ground had brought forth plentifully. Who did that? God did. And yet, instead of saying, well, you know what? Maybe my neighbors didn't do as well. Or maybe so-and-so over here can use some too. No, he just hoarded it up. And what did God say? He called him a fool. He said, this night your soul's going to be required of thee. Then who's going to get all these things that you were hoarding up? The same with us today. Don't put our confidence in things that material possessions there. Jesus said over there in Matthew 19:21-22, Jesus said unto him, if thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This man wanted to know what he needed to do to have eternal life. Jesus had told him there. You know, Jesus knew he had great possessions too. Was he telling him to give everything away? No, he said, sell what you have. You know, that's what we do today. You know, if we see someone else in need, help them out. There's nothing wrong with helping people out at times. You can say, well, that person there, if you help them, then you know they don't try to help themselves. Well, you know, that's up to them. It's up to us to do the right thing. Do what Jesus said. Don't do what the world says. Don't do what your opinions are. Revelation 3:17 says, because thou sayest I am rich. This is what Jesus was telling the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3:17. Who was putting their confidence in their material possessions. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, blind, and naked. Their confidence was in the wrong place. Their trust was in the wrong place, you see. Don't put your trust in these material possessions. They can, you know, we can't serve two masters. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. Man cannot serve him and mammon. So, but who else? Don't put your trust totally in yourself. There's too many today that pride themselves on being self-sufficient, saying, I have need of nothing. You know what? You wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God. You know, God warns us against pride. He said in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, we're to be poor in spirit. We're to be humble and meek, not have that kind of attitude about us. But put your trust in God. That's the source right there. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Why? Because he is our source of life. Not only in this life, we have to have him at all times, but that life is everlasting in heaven for eternity. That's life. If you spend it in torment, that's death. That's the second death. So put your trust in the Lord, and you will be in heaven one day. We have a guarantee that. All we have to do is follow what he has told us in his holy and divine word. We read over there In Jeremiah 17, verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. He is the fountain of living waters. This is what Jesus told the woman at the well there in John chapter 4, that he is that source there, living waters there. And he is our strength. He is our rock. He is our refuge. He is a place of safety. And he will not forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the question is, what or whom do you place your trust? Do you place your trust in broken cisterns? In other words, something that's of no use, that's not going to help you? Or do you put that trust in the only true God? That's the source. That's where we should be putting our trust. I hope we went over a few things of interest to you. I hope it has touched your heart in some way. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, that it will encourage you to make yourself to be obedient to it. And you can come here at the Brummett Church of Christ, and we'll show you what you need to do. And we'll show you in God's Word exactly how to go about becoming a Christian, and then devoting and committing your life to serving the Lord. And at this time, I hope you have a good day.
Amen.
Till my soul be saved.